White House wants Christopher Hart back on the NTSB. Bell Helicopter settles one contract dispute in Texas with one more to go. And did Billy Mays die of his bump on the head? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 30th, 2009. The Obama administration has nominated Christopher Hart to the National Transportation Safety Board. If that name sounds vaguely familiar, Hart served on the board from 1990 through 93. The White House notes that since 1995, Hart has applied his legal and technical backgrounds at the FAA to create processes for using information proactively to identify and address safety issues before they cause mishaps. He's also served as Deputy Administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, as well as in roles with DOT, the Air Transport Association, and in private practice. Hart is also a pilot with commercial, multi-engine, and instrument ratings. Bell Helicopter says it has reached a new contract agreement with UAW Local 317, covering 340 office and clerical workers at Bell facilities in Fort Worth, Hearst, Arlington, Grand Prairie, and Roanoke, Texas. 86% of local members voted yes on the deal. The three-year contract includes a health care package with three options, similar to the plan most other Bell and Textron employees have. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports the contract includes a $3,500 ratification bonus and no increase in base wages in 2009, but 3% raises in each of the following 2 years. Negotiations with UAW Local 218, which represents manufacturing workers for Bell Helicopter, remain unresolved. Celebrity pitchman Billy Mays, who is widely parodied for his OxyClean commercials, apparently died in his sleep Saturday night at the age of 50. Now, his wife has told Tampa area media he complained of not feeling well when he turned in for the night. Mays had reported being struck in the head by unspecified falling objects when his U.S. Airways flight blew its nose gear tires during a hard landing in Tampa earlier in the day. Mays told the local Fox TV affiliate, quote, "All of a sudden, as we hit, you know, it was just the hardest hit. All of the things from the ceiling started dropping. It hit me on the head, but I got a hard head," unquote. The incident has chilling parallels to the March 16th skiing accident, which claimed the life of actress Natasha Richardson. She dismissed the severity of her bump on the head at first and declined treatment when responders arrived. She later died. An autopsy for Billy Mays and the FAA preliminary report on the U.S. Airways incident or accident are pending. Up next on ANN, you'll get to sit in the Stratus jet at Oshkosh. Owners of older King Airs get another engine replacement option. And NASA wants your input cataloging the Von Braun collection. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 30th. I'm Paul Plack. If all the very light jets you've seen so far have been either too big or too small, you are the target customer for the guys at Stratus Aircraft. The Stratus 714 is being called a very light personal jet, and it's aimed at the current gap in the market between minivan and Miata. What that means is four seats, 400 knots, and 1,500 nautical miles with reserves. The design team is led by Chief Technology Officer Karsten Sunden, an aerospace engineer with previous stints at Lancair and Epic. The company plans to build the plane at a yet-to-be-announced location near Bend, Oregon, where Cessna is shutting down its production facility for its Corvallis models. As for the exciting performance goals, Stratus says their feasibility has recently been independently verified by a leading aerodynamics company. The company adds it will have a mock-up of the plane at Oshkosh. CEO Michael Lemaire says, quote, "The full-size mock-up clearly demonstrates the level of roominess and comfort we're aiming to achieve. No amount of blueprints or renderings can replace actually sitting in the cabin," unquote. And Aero TV will be at AirVenture to give you a look. Owners of older King Air B-200s facing escalating overhaul and maintenance costs on their 35-year-old Pratt & Whitney engines now have another source for a more modern engine retrofit. Standard Aero has received an STC for the King Air 200, 200C, B200, and B200C, allowing replacement of the older PT6A 41 or 42 series engines with PT6A 52s and four-bladed Hartzell propellers. This is the same engine and prop combination that is type certified on the new Beechcraft King Air B200 GT. Standard Aero General Manager, Turboprop Business Unit, Manny Atwal, notes, quote, low cycle fatigue replacement, service bulletin requirements, and customer build specifications are driving up the overhaul and maintenance costs. With the upgrade program, customers can get a new PT6A 52 for a slightly higher cost than overhauling their aging PT6A 41 or 42 engines, while increasing performance and aircraft value, unquote. The upgrade allows for a cruise performance of over 300 knots true. Standard Aero also offers extended warranty coverage to 10 years or base time before overhaul. It would not be an exaggeration to call spaceflight pioneer Wernher von Braun the father of the U.S. space program. Von Braun was the first director of NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, Alabama, and a key figure in the development of the Saturn V rocket and NASA's Apollo program. NASA's collection of weekly notes written by von Braun during the 60s and 70s were used to track programmatic and institutional issues at Marshall and are considered by many historians to be a valuable source of data. But until now, they've been hard to access. Now, on the eve of the 40th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, NASA is inviting the public, academia, and industry to offer suggestions on how the notes might best be organized into a searchable database. Comments sought include overall strategy, formatting, indexing, and more. You can find details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Alphabet groups ask for more time to comment on the Bob Hope curfew. ALPA joins the fight against oil speculators. And here's a rare chance to fly a PBY, kind of. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation, the Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 30th. I'm Paul Plagg. The Experimental Aircraft Association and the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association are joining to ask the FAA to extend the public comment period on a proposal to approve a 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew on operations at Bob Hope Airport in Burbank, California. NIMBYs, supported by local airport management, want all those private jets of the rich and famous to go somewhere else and bother other people at night. The position of the Alphabet groups is that, since all other available alternative airports in the valley are already saturated with traffic, the curfew could adversely affect the national and local transportation system. In their joint letter, EAA and AOPA maintain the comment period, which is currently scheduled to end on July 20th, has been too short. Quote, an extension would allow local private and public airport users adequate time to determine how a curfew would impact airports in the Los Angeles basin, unquote. The Airline Pilots Association is joining the hordes calling on the U.S. Congress to do something to stop speculators from driving up the price of oil. Despite stagnant demand, the price of oil has jumped sharply in recent weeks. Captain John Prater, ALPA's president, is among more than a dozen signatories on a letter from what is called the Commodity Markets Oversight Coalition, urging Congress to pass H.R. 277, the Derivatives Markets Transparency and Accountability Act of 2009. That letter reads in part, quote, "The legislation currently before Congress will help foster a stable oil supply and support a healthy airline industry, which plays a fundamental role in the nation's transportation infrastructure and contributes enormously to the country's economy," unquote. Boy, let's hope that law passes. After all, if there's one thing we've learned in the past year, nothing brings accountability like federal government oversight. And finally, if you've heard old-timers talk about their days flying the Consolidated PBY Amphibians, you may have wondered what it would be like to fly one of the most versatile multi-role aircraft of the World War II era. Unfortunately, the last PBY 5A Catalina in use by the U.S. Navy was decommissioned in the late 1950s, and there are only a handful of airworthy examples left in the world, and they're busy fighting fires. Fortunately, we live in an age when private enthusiasts can bring any vintage aircraft flying experience to desktop computer simulators. In this case, Microsoft Flight Sim 10 can now be loaded up with a convincing PBY simulator, created by Dave Eckert and Warwick Carter of Abacus, instrumentation by Ken Mitchell, and sound by Aaron Swindle. Artist Gary Smith has painstakingly recreated the PBY's various liveries. For more details, visit the downloads page at www.flyawaysimulation.com. Hopefully, you'll be better at the PC simulator than I am. I passed my check ride with flying colors in a real Cessna 172, but I can't keep the virtual version right side up. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll get a look ahead to next week's Arlington fly-in from Executive Director Barbara Tolbert. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.